Today's shiur is Masechta Erev and Daf Ayin Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Beis and Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanim begins the Gemara with a brisa. Tana Rabbanim Mishiyesh Le Beis Shar, a small gatehouse where from through that gatehouse one enters into the chotzer or a chsadra. It's a pavilion that has three walls and a roof on top of it, a covering on top. And again, that is the way people would enter to the chotzer, walking through the echsadra. Mepeses, there is a porch that from the porch, people go up the ladder onto the porch, and that's how they get into their apartments or get from the chotzer to their apartments or vice versa. Bechatzar chaveroi, even though that are in somebody else's chotzer, hareza in oisalov. All these situations are not considered as if they're considered places of living, that because they should be considered places of living, you have to participate in the Erev. And if you don't participate in the Erev, then the Erev is not a qualified Erev. However, if there's a Beis HaTevin, a warehouse for straw, Beis HaBokor, a warehouse, a place where the animals are kept, Beis HaEitzim, where the wood is kept, Beis HaOtris, where wine is kept, or different materials, wine, oil, grain, all of those situations, Hareza Oysalov, they do create that they're considered a place of dwelling. As we keep on learning over and over, everybody who lives in a chotzer has to participate in the Erev. However, Tosfos makes a very important point, that the existence of these places is not a consideration only if they're actually used. But if they're not used, even though they're there, then they don't make a difference. And Tosfos, I saw the Sefer Gaon Yaakov makes a point that even though there is the opinion of Rameya, holds that a dira b'loy balim shma dira, that even when people who own a home aren't there, it's still considered a home. Explains the Gaon Yaakov, that is only in a situation which is a regular apartment. So by a regular apartment, even if you're not there, it's still considered a dira to some degree. But in a situation, as we are discussing in our shiur today, where it's not really a dira, it's a warehouse, and there's nobody living there, everybody will agree that it's not considered a base dira, it's not considered a place of dwelling that should make a difference. Reb Yehuda Omer, Ein Oisa El Mokom Dira Bavad. He says that the only place that we have to be concerned about is a place where people actually live. If people don't live there, it's a warehouse, we don't have to be concerned about such an area. Amar Yehuda says the Gemara Maisa Ben Nafcha. There was a story with Ben Nafcha, Shaila Chamesh Chatzeris, that had five different Chatzeris that he had access to in different places around the city, Be'usha, in the city of Usha, or Bar Maisa Lefnei Chachamim. And the question came to the Chachamim, when does Ben Nafcha's when is Ben Nafcha non-participation in the area of a concern? When is it not a concern? The only time it's a consideration is where it's somebody that lives there. But if it's not a place where you live, not. Ask the Gemara, Beis Dira Sakadatach, does it have to be a place where people could live, even though no one is actually living there? Didn't Rabbi Yehuda say that you need a makam dira? And a makam dira means where people actually live. Elayma, indeed, makam dira. To be considered a consideration, it's only a place where people actually live. If people actually live there, then that becomes a consideration. But now, the Gemara's question is, my makam dira, what makes it should be considered a makam dira? So we mentioned this machlokes in yesterday's shiur. Rav of a makom pita. Rav says the place where you eat, that's what's considered your makom dira. V'Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel says makom lina, the place that you sleep. The Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz teaches us that since the halacha is the mokum pita goyrim, therefore bochrim who eat in their home of the Rebbe, even though that was apparently a custom in those days, even though they sleep in their dormitory, what the dormitory rooms are not, the place where they sleep is not relevant. And he goes on to say that even if it's only on Shabbos that they don't eat there, during the week they eat where they sleep, it doesn't make a difference. Because when we speak according to Rav about the Mokum Pita, it's the place where you eat on Shabbos. And that is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch Rav as well. Ben Yonason is not that comfortable with that. The Ben Yonason says that if you have a situation where they sleep in one place, and they also eat there all week, it's just on Shabbos that they don't eat there, it's hard to say that that's not considered their mokum. That's not considered the mokum dira. Shmuel said that it's the mokum lina. So there's a big machlokes rishonim how to understand the opinion of Shmuel. The Baal Amar says that when Shmuel says mokum lina, he doesn't mean to exclude the mokum achila. So you have to consider both consideration. The Rashba disagrees. And the Rashba says that just like according to Rav, when it says mokum pita, it means where you eat, so too, when we speak about the mokum lina, according to Shmuel, it is the mokum lina. So this discussion of what is the place where you live, is it the mokum pita, where you eat, or the mokum lina, where you sleep, has very interesting ramifications for various halachas. One question that the Pesukim discuss is regarding Ner Chanukah. With in our Gemara, the Gemara is saying that according to Rav, it's the Mokum Pita, and we paskin like Rav, that it's the Mokum Pita. So the question that comes up is, if you have students in the yeshiva who sleep in their dormitory rooms, but they eat in the yeshiva dining room, where should I light candles? Where should I light the Hanukkah candles? If we're saying that the Mokum Pita is the main place, they should have to light candles in the dormitory, in the dining room where they eat. However, both the Michas Yitzchak in Chelik Zayin Simen Mem Ches and Ramosha in Chelik Yerodeya Chelik Gimel Sif Cotton Simen Yud Sif Cotton Hay says that even if there's a dormitory, there's a dining room where everybody eats, and there's a dormitory where they sleep, it's better to light in your dormitory room. And they give two reasons. In the dining room, they're in the dining room much less time than they are in the dormitory room. They eat quickly in the dining room, then they go back to their rooms, and they go back to the Beis Medrash. Moreover, a dormitory room, no matter how many boys there are in the dormitory room, there aren't that many boys in the dormitory room. And since there aren't that many boys in a dormitory room, that makes it more private. The dining room, which is used for the entire yeshiva, is not as private as the dormitory room. And the fact that that dormitory room has that type of privacy, certainly you should light the Hanukkah candles in the dormitory room. In a situation where, however, they discuss where somebody, where a boy, a bachur, sleeps in yeshiva, but he eats at home. So the Michas Yitzchak has a discussion, where should he light the Hanukkah candles? On one hand, certainly sleeping in the dormitory is a real kvius. He sleeps there every night. Versus where eating, you know, at home, just going home quickly for dinner and going back to yeshiva. On the other hand, in our Gemara, we see clearly that it's a mokum pita. Where you eat has a very serious is what we follow in halacha. So he doesn't say clear under what circumstance, where somebody who has that kind of a situation, where should they light the Hanukkah candles. I also saw from Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal that if somebody is in a yeshiva and they eat in the dining room and they sleep in the dormitory room, and they sleep in the dormitory, since the Rabbi Yashiv says, since the dormitory is much more miyuchad, it's much more private, only for this student, the dormitory, the dining room is for everybody, the halacha is that you should light in your dormitory room. And there is a question Rabbi Yashiv also discusses, if the place where you could light in the dormitory is more, in the dining room, is more convenient for the halacha than the place in the dormitory, that there he suggests maybe you should light in the dining room. And I think part of what he's saying is because our Gemara clearly indicates that where you sleep does make a big difference. So the Gemara now is going to ask a question on Rav. As we just said, Rav's opinion is that we follow the Mokum Pita, the place where you eat. As we learned extensively earlier in the Masechta, we know that on Shabbos, there's a concept of Tchum Shabbos. You could only walk 2,000 Amos from your Tchum. We learned further that Meisvei asked the Gemara. It says in a Braisa, when it speaks about the Tchum Shabbos, Haroyim, people who are shepherds that take care of animals, like Kayotzim, people that take care of the figs that were taken out to dry, Vabruganen, people who are the city watchmen, Vishomri Paris, or the people who watch the fruit that are in the field, Vizman Shadaka Lolam Be'ir, if they normally go home to sleep at night. So when we want to count, where is their Tchum Shabbos? Harein Kanchi'ir. We consider them as if they are from the city, and all the halachos of Tchum that we discussed would apply as if they live in the city. However, Bizman Shadaka Lolam Be'sod, if they sleep in the field, Yesh L'mapayel Kol Ruach, we count the Tchum from where they sleep. So we see that it's from where they sleep that counts, not from where they eat. Answers the Gemara, that's not a good raya. Hosom, a non-sadi, the imam to lerif the hosom. We're quite certain that if somebody brought the food there, nichluhu, because they sleep out in the field. So certainly if they could accomplish that they should sleep there and eat there, that would be most convenient. There's just nobody bringing them any food. So since no one is bringing them any food, they have no choice but to sleep, but to come into the town to eat. But the real place where they want to be kaveh amokum, the place where they want to be, that it should be considered their home, is certainly out in the field, and therefore, even Rav would agree we follow the mokum lina. I'm Rav Yosef, as we have often in Shas, Rav Yosef comments, L'shmila hashmata. I never heard this halacha from Rav, the Mokum Pita Goyrim. But as we learned so many times, unfortunately Rabbi Yosef got ill and he forgot his learning. And we find often that his Talmud, Abaya, tries to remind him of what he might have forgotten. So says the Gemara, Amalei Abaya. Abaya said to his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef, At Amritlon, you did indeed tell us this halacha, Vaha Amritlon, and this is where you told it to us. The sugi that we learned in the previous year, where you have brothers who are eating all at their father's home, but they sleep at home. The halach is, each one of them has to participate individually in the Erev. And we said based on that, and we said that when we learned the Gemara, the last piece of Gemara yesterday as well, from here we clearly see where you sleep makes a difference. Because the fact that they're sleeping at home means that we should follow where that's what separates them, and they have to give an Erev. So don't separate, each one has to participate individually in the Erev. So isn't that clearly indication of Mokum Lina what counts? And then you told us that you can't bring a rye from that Mishnah, because as we explained in yesterday's Shir, Mekabli Prashano. Our Mishnah's not speaking where they actually eat in their father's home, but they eat at home, but they get the food. We gave two Pshatim yesterday's Shir. Either they get the food or they get the funding for the food from the father. So therefore, since it's not a place where they eat, and they sleep also not there, that's why the halacha is that they should separate. So the Mishnah is speaking about a very new situation. So, but we learned further in the Mishnah that if, as we learned, sometimes you have to contribute to the Erev, and sometimes the Erev is brought to your home. So we learned that in this case, where they have a connection to their father, or there's no one else there, as we learned in the Mishnah, then there's no need to make an Erev. So we see that Mekabli Pras, the fact that they're all being supported by the father, connects them. Turn around. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Mishesh loy chamish noshim. If somebody has five wives, Mekablis Pras and Baleim, each one of them is supported by their husband. Or Chavisha Avadim, or he has five servants, Mekam Prasmi Rabbeim, that each one gets supported from his owner. Rabbi Yudai Mata Sebe Masha says, and they all live in different houses, all the wives and all the servants live in different houses in that chotzer. So Rabbi Yudai Mata says that the wives don't each have to contribute to the Erev separately. The husband's contribution is adequate. Voice Bavadim. However, when he speaks about Avadim, there he's Machmer. He says the Avadim are not as connected to their owner, and therefore, even though they're living in the same chotzer and they're being supported by the owner, that still doesn't connect them. Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba holds just the opposite. Matter by Avadim, he says the Avadim are not considered separate, voice of Anoshim. So it's a very interesting discussion. What's the halacha if there's only going to be one wife? You have a husband and wife. He only has one wife. They don't live in the same home. They live in two separate homes in the same chotzer. So the Taras Chaim says whatever the halacha is with five women, five wives, is the halacha with one wife. The reason the Gemara chose to speak about somebody who has five wives, he says, is because if somebody only has one wife, it's most likely that he and that one wife are going to live in the same home. If you have many wives and you want to avoid problems, that's why they don't live in the same home. The Gaon Yaakov, however, disagrees. And he says, if you have somebody who has only one wife and they doesn't live in the same home, that it may be different. And therefore, because the fact that you have a wife and she isn't living with you may mean that you're separate. So Yehuda held that by the separate wives, they're not considered separate homes, but Avadim it is. And the Rosh explains that by a wife, we have a concept of Ishta Kegufay. By an Eved, there is no Ishta Kegufay. Moreover, I saw that Rutva explains, wives, different wives of the same husband have a halacha connection. We know that the halacha is, as we will learn in Mitzvah Shem Masech the Yevamis, if you did Jibim B'chalitza with one of the wives, it makes that the other wives are not obligated to Jibim B'chalitza. If one of the wives is a woman who's disqualified from Jibim, then not only does it affect her, but affects all the other wives. So we see that there is a connection between the wives, which doesn't exist necessarily by the Avodim. However, points out the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. We just discussed a moment ago, and we actually learned it in the Mishnah in yesterday's Shir as well. What's the halacha with Bonim? And the Gemara just said that if the Bonim are Mekabli Pras, if the Bonim get supported from their father, then the halacha is if they're contributing to the Erev, each one of them has to contribute individually. But if the Erev is being brought to them, or if there are nobody else in this chotzer besides the father and the sons, then they don't have to make separate Eruv Chatzeiros. Says the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, whatever we've been learning in the previous shir and in today's shir is the halacha with sons. The same halacha, says the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, will apply with wives. We cannot say that the relationship between the wives and the husband is any stronger than the relationship between the sons and the husband and the father, and therefore whatever is the halacha there will be the halacha by the wives as well. Then we learned the opinion of Yehuda ben Baba that says the avodim are considered more connected to the owner than the wives. Why? Because an Eved has to be constantly on call to take care of his owner. Whatever he asks him to do, he has to do. A wife doesn't have that type of obligation. And since the wife doesn't have that type of obligation, we cannot say that they have the same halacha. The wives, the avadim are considered more connected than the wives. Amarav, my time with Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, the ksiv. Where do we see this connection that we just mentioned between an Evan and his owner? The pasuk says in Daniel, for Daniel Basra Malka. The Daniel was in the king's palace. Now, Daniel really spent most of the day by learning Torah. So he wasn't in the king's palace. He was in the Beis Medrash learning Torah. Yet he's called Daniel Batra Malka. Because an Eved, wherever he is considered being like the being at the Melech, and because he's being supported from the Melech, and because he needs to be on call, like we just learned, to the Melech, that makes him connected to the Melech. Says the Gemara, Pshita ben Etzel of a son-father relation, as our Mishnah explained. Isha Etzel Bala, Veved Etzel Rabbi, a wife and the husband, an Eved and his owner, is what we just learned. Pluk to Rabbi Yehuda ben Basay, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. Ask the Gemara, however, Talmud Etzel Rabbi Mai. What's going to be the halacha? How do we view the relationship between a Talmud and his Rebbe? Toshma, says the Gemara, the Rabbi Reb Chiya, that when Rav was in the yeshiva Reb Chiya, Amar ein anu tzrichon arav. We don't have to make our own Erev. Shrei anu samchim al shulchan shol Reb Chiya. We are being supported by the yeshiva, by Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya, by Rebbe, and Reb Chiya, when he learned in the yeshiva of Rebbe, and again, it was the same situation. He was learning by Rebbe. He was in the yeshiva. He was eating and sleeping and learning there. Amar, he too said, ein anu tzrichon arav. We don't have to contribute individually to the Erev. Shrei anu samchim al shulchan shol Rebbe. We're relying on Rebbe, and we're part of his family. We don't have to make our own Erev. Ba'amina ba'amir Rabba, Chamisha Shagovas Ruvan. As we've discussed many times, you have two chatzeres, neighboring chatzeres, that have access to each other. So the halacha tells us that so you have five apartments opening up to one chatzer. You have five apartments opening up to the other chatzer. So the halacha clearly is that each home, each chatzer, has to make its own eruv chatzeres, which they did. Now, there's access between these two chatzeres, and because there's access between these two chatzeres, and the members of both chatzeres want to be able to carry from one chatzer to the other, what you do to be able to let that happen is you take, we learned, not make a new Erev, but just take the Erev of one of the Chatzeres and put it into the other Chatzer. So Abaye wants to know from Rabbi Chamish Shagovas Aruvan, Kishimalichan Seruvan, the Mokamacha. Now they take that Erev to the next Chatzer so that they should be able to carry between the two Chatzeres. Is Erev Echel Lekula, one Erev between all the people of the first Chatzer is enough? Erev Lekalechav Echel, do you have to make a separate Erev for every individual in this new Erev? Amalei, so he responded, Erev Echel Kulan, one Erev is enough for everyone. So the Rishonim will ask that this is a Braisa that we learned more than once in our Masechta, that Erev Echel Kulan. Why is Abaya asking a question which is an explicit Braisa? So Rashi says that it could be Abaya wasn't aware of this Braisa. Or Rashi says that this Braisa in the Gemara before was actually a question if everybody agrees with it. So Abaye wanted to say the halacha that was stated in this Braisa, is that the halacha or not? But then I saw another pshat. Abaye certainly was aware of the Braisa, and not only was Abaye aware of the Braisa, he knew that the halacha follows like that Braisa. But as we're going to see now in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara, this halacha really is the basis for asking more questions. So this is the way Abaye began the discussion to ultimately lead to the other questions he wanted to ask. Ask the Gemara, for Achen, in a situation where you have brothers, who are all being supported by the father. So it's since they're all being supported by the same father, they're like already contributed to the Erev. And what's the Raya? Because at Amishtha we learned that if there are no other people living there, they don't have to make an Erev, because they're all already connected. Yet we learned that Ktani, yet our Mishnah says that if they're contributing to the Erev, Tzrich an Erev Kol Echad V'Echad. Why? Isn't the fact that they're already connected, so just like we learned a moment ago, in a situation where people are connected, one person giving Erev for everyone is enough. Here too, the fact that they're connected should make that they shouldn't each have to give their own Erev, food for the Erev. Answers the Gemara, that there are other people there. And since there are other people there who are not brothers, not sons, and they certainly have to contribute individually to the Erev, the Miga, the Hani Asri, since they have to contribute individually, Hani Nami Asri, then the brothers also have to contribute separately. So in other words, when is there a halacha where one could contribute for everyone? The halacha is only where that will be all that you need to do. But if you're going to have more than one contribution, so then everybody has to contribute. And says the Gemara, Hachanami Mistabra, that's the way to understand the Ketani. Because let's learn what our Mishnah says. So they're taking the Erev elsewhere, and everybody has to contribute to the Erev. Am Hoya Eruvim Bo Etzlam. If the Erev is coming to them, or there's no one else besides the family in the Chatzar, ain't Tzrichim L'Arev. So we see that the whole point, the whole issue, is because there were people who had to individually already contribute to the Erev. So now we say everybody has to. But in a case where that isn't the situation, and not everybody nobody has to contribute, they won't either. That they eat their meals in homes, in the Bikkah, in different homes. That was the minig. That was the way it worked, that the yeshiva students would eat in different people's homes. However, they slept in Vasa Baisa Beirav. They slept in the yeshiva. Kimashchina l'tchuma, as we discussed a few moments ago, we measure a tchum. Where is it considered their mokum shvisa from where we should measure the tchum? Min beirav meshchina lo? Is it from the yeshiva where they sleep? Or mi baga meshchina lo? Or from the place where they eat? Amalei, so Rav Sheshi said, meshchina min beirav. We measure from where they, from the Beis Medrash, that's where they sleep. Ask Rav Chibar Oven to Rav Sheshi's, v'rei, noisen esru v'tchoich apayim ama. The halach is, when we spoke about making eruv tchumim, somebody puts down his eruv wherever that puts down his eruv tchumim, and as we discussed extensively, by one placing an eruv tchumim, putting down the food for an eruv tchumim, that's considered where your makom shvisa was for Shabbos, and therefore from that becomes the spot from which we measure the 2,000 amma that you have to go on Shabbos. So what happened? Somebody puts down his food Bein Erev Shabbos, wherever he wants to be Kodesh Visa. Also, your boss with Beis, and then he goes back home. Obviously, there has to be the proper distance between that Erev and your home. And where do we measure his Mokum Shvisa? The Mashchin Leitchum Meruve. We can count from where you put down your food. So isn't this clearly indication that when it comes to Erev Tchum, we look at where your food is, not where you're sleeping? Answers the Gemara. That's not a good Raya. Because by he, Anan Sadeh, there we're certain that Bahadur Anon Sadeh, we're in both cases comfortable in knowing what is the person's Mokum Shvisa. Where is the person really consider where he lives? By he, in the case of Erev Tchumim, Anan Sadeh Dims Ada Hosa Michalei, where the person put down his Erev Tchumim is where he wants to, that should be his Mokum Shvisa for Shabbos. And if it would be possible for him to sleep there, that's where he would be. It's just not possible. It's outdoors. You can't sleep outdoors. So that's why he goes home. But his real Mokum Shvisa is where he put down his Erev Tchumim. However, Bahador, in the case of the yeshiva students, even though they don't eat in the yeshiva, And not Sade, we're certain the Maisley Rifted, they would love to be able to eat in yeshiva and not have to go to people's home. Because they look at their they look at the yeshiva as their real Mokum Shvisa, Nichol Tfei. By Rabbi Mar Chizda, Av Benoy, a father and a son, and each one in a separate home. Harava Talmidai, or a Rebbe and a Talmud. In both of these cases, the son is being supported by the father, the Talmud is being supported by the Rebbe. Do we say Ki Rabim Dami or Ki Yechidim Dami? We're going to learn a Mishnah that we've quoted Baruch Hashem many times. When you have two Chatzeris, Zu Lefnim Zu, there's two Chatzeris, one inside the other. We have one Chatzer, which is called the Chatzer Pnimi, and then we have the Chatzer Chitzoyna. And the people of the Pnimi Chatzer walk through the Chatzer Chitzoyna to get to the Rishus Rabim. If the people in the Panimi did not make an error for themselves, so that will be called Regal HaAsur B'Mekayma. They didn't make an error for themselves. So not only may they not carry in their own Chatzur, but the fact that they have right of passage through the Chitzoyna, even if the Chitzoyna made an error, it wouldn't help them any. But that's only if the two Chatzeris are from a Rabbim. But let's say in the Panimi, there's an Adam Yochid. There's only one person living there. Since there's only one person living there, there's no need for Eruv HaChatzeris. So that becomes a category of Regal HaMoteris B'Mekoymai. And therefore, his Drisus HaRegal, according to the Chachamim, doesn't adversely affect the Chitzoyna. So now asks Rabbi Bachama, if in the Panimi you have an Ava Benoi, in the Panimi, you have a Rava Talmidai. Is it considered like a Rabbim? And then you'll have a problem if they didn't make an Erev. Or is it considered like in a situation where Erev is not required? It's like a Yochid, and it wouldn't adversely affect the Chitzoyna. Next question. A Ava Benoi and a Rava Talmidai, they live in a regular Chatzar where there's no one else. So the question is, Tzrichen Erev or Ain't Tzrichen Erev? We know that when we have more than one family in a chatzar, to be able to carry in that chatzar, you need to make a Eruv HaChatzeris. The Gemara's question is, if the only two people living in a chatzar are a father and the son is being supported by the father, the Rebbe and the Talmud being supported by the Rebbe, is there a need for an Eruv or not? Next question was, we go back to the beginning of the Masechta. Then order to carry in a Mavi, besides that you need to make Shtufim Mavos, you also have to Lechi Ukaira. But the halacha was that all of that only works when you have Batim and Chatzeris open to the Mavi. So Rambam Bechama wants to know if you have a Mavi that has two Chatzeris. But the question is, the Chatzeris don't have more than a father and a son, or Rebbe and a Talmud. Is it considered like you have two Batim and a Chatzer or not? Mavi Shalom, if it is, then you can make a Lechi Ukaira. If we're going to say that they may not be considered like separate chatzeris or they're not, Amalei, to which Rav Chizda answered to Rami Bechama, Tenesua, we learned in a Braisa, Av Benoi Harav Tamaydai, Bezmanch Enimam Diurim, if no one else lives there, Harein Ki Yechidim, they're considered like one unit, Ein Tzrichim L'Arev, Mavishla Nitta Belech V'Kareh. However, the Gemara is saying we go Lekula in both directions. There's no need for separate Eruv HaChatzeris, but even though they don't need, either, there's no need for separate Eruv HaChatzeris, the halacha will be for Shtufim Avos, they are considered separate. Chamech Chatzeris Pesuch Zuluzu teaches us the Mishnah when you have five Chatzeris, each open to the other, and then each one of these Chatzeris are also Pesuch Slamavai. So it teaches us the Mishnah, Erev B'Chatzeris, if they made Eruv HaChatzeris, V'lein Ishtatfu B'Mavi, but they didn't make Shtufim Mavos, B'Tarm B'Chatzeris, they could carry from one Chatzah to the other because they made Eruv HaChatzeris connecting them. However, V'Surim B'Mavi, they can't carry to the Mavi because they didn't make Shtufim Mavos. That's the diagram in Rashi here at the bottom on the right-hand side. In the Ishtatfu B'Mavi, but if they made Shtufim Mavos, then they could not only carry from the Chatzeris to the Mavi, Mitorim, Kan, V'Kan, they could carry between the Chatzeris, and they also could carry from the Chatzeris to the Mavi. Everything will, Mitzvah Shem, be explained in the Gemara. Erev B'Chatzeris, from the Shtat for Mavi, if they made a Ruvi Chatzeris, they made Shtuf from Mavos, V'Shochet Echav B'nei Chatz V'lo Erev. But one of the people from the Chatz did not participate. The Halach is, Mitorim, Kan, V'Kan. They still could carry in both. So they could carry in both cases. And we'll see in the Gemara why. If B'nei Mavi V'lo Nishtatif, if one of the people from the Chatzeris that are open to the Mavi did not participate in the Shtuf and Mavos, Mutarim B'Chatzeris, they could rely on the Ruv Chatzeris, Asurim B'Mavi, but they can't carry to the Mavi. Shemer Mavi L'Chatzeris, the relationship between a Mavi and the Chatzur is like the relationship between Chatzur and Batim. Just like you can't carry from the homes to the Chatzeris without a Ruvi Chatzeris, so too can you not carry from the Chatzur to the Mavi without Shtufa Mavos. And if somebody didn't participate, that disqualifies the Shtufa Mavos. So the Gemara drills down in trying to understand our Mishnah. Mani, who is the opinion of our Mishnah that if you made a Ruvi Chatzeris and you didn't make Shtufa Mavos, you could only carry in the Chatzeris and not in the Mavi? Remeyahi. It represents the opinion of Remeyah that we learned in the previous year, in Daf Ayin Aleph, that taught us, Dharma being an Erev, being a Shittuf, you have to have an Erev and a Shittuf. And if you don't have both, you can't rely on one for the other. Continues the Gemara, Erev Mitziyasa. Let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah in the next case said, V'neshtatfu b'mavi, if they made Shittuf from a Mavos, even though they didn't make a Ruvi Chatzeris, the Halach is Mutarim Kan V'Kan. They could carry in the Mavri and they could carry in the Chatzur. Whose opinion does that follow? Asul Rabbanon. Doesn't that follow the opinion of the Rabbanon, the Amri, B'chad Sagya, that if you make Shtuf Mavos, even though you didn't make a Ruvi Chatzeris, the Shtuf Mavos covers? So don't we have a Stira? The first din of the Mishnah represents the opinion of Rameya. The second din of the Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbanon. Says the Gemara, Holei Kasha. That isn't a question. The way we should understand the Mishnah is im nishtat tunami, that if they made shtuf mavos and ruvi chatzeris, then you could carry. Of course, the question is that if they made shtuf mavos and ruvi chatzeris, so what's the chiddush of the Mishnah that they could carry in the Mavi and they could carry in the chatzer? Why not? So the Tiferes Yisrael answers, because I would think that you have to do Shtuf Mavos and then a Ruvi Chatzeris. And let's say you did it in the wrong order, it should disqualify. Teaches us the Mishnah that even according to Rameyer, as long as you have both a Ruvi Chatzeris or Shtuf Mavos, even though you didn't follow the proper order, it'll still be fine. Ask the Gemara. So right now, our Gemara has still been successful in explaining that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rameyer. But ask the Gemara Emes Sefer. Let's continue learning the Mishnah. Erev b'chatzeris from the shtat from the Mavi, they made a Ruvi Chatzeris and they made Shtufim Mavos. V'shocher echem b'nei chotzer v'loy Erev, and somebody from the chotzer didn't participate. Mitarim v'kan v'kan. Ask the Gemara Hechidami. What exactly is the case? We have somebody who didn't participate. Eat the loy bottle. So as we've learned so many times in our Masechta, if somebody didn't participate, he still has a way of solving the problem by mevatel rishus. So if this person who didn't participate was not mevatel rishus, so the question is, am I mitarim? Why is it fine? He should be causing a problem. El pshita, how must we understand that this person who did not participate, bottle, was mevatel rishus, and that's how we solve that problem. Continues the Gemara. Aim is safe, but let's continue learning the Mishnah. Shachar echav b'nei mavi, if somebody from the mavi, somebody from one of the Chatzeris, v'loy nishtatif, so the halacha is, and he didn't participate in the shtufim avos, mitarim b'chatzeris, v'surim b'mavi. V the bottle, but if we're saying that our Mishnah is speaking about a situation where the person who neglected to participate was mevatel rishus, am I surim b'mavi? So why is there a problem? He was mevatel rishus. V'chi teima, and maybe to answer that question, you will say, Kesava Rameya, Rameya's opinion is, that even though Bittul Rishus works, maybe Bittul Rishus is only by a chotzer, but not by a movi. And I saw that the Aruch HaShulchan explains why should it be different. Because a movi has so many people who are really not even connected, all entering and exiting through the movi. And since you have all these people entering and exiting through the movi, that's why a bitl rishus, by so many disparate, non-connected people, won't work. A chotzer is a much more limited group. It's much more of a group that has a connection with each other. And that's why maybe their bitl rishus works, and not by movi. But as the Gemara, Tanya, didn't we learn in the Braisa, on Daf Samaches, where there was a tzedoki that lived in the same chotzer with Rav Gamliel, and Rav Gamliel told his children, go and be machzik in the movi before the tzedoki, who was mevatel rishus, changes his mind. So I bit lechem rishusai, the tzedoki is mevatel rishus, and quickly take advantage of that before he changes his mind. Divrei Rameya. So we see that Rameya is of the opinion that even by movi, bitl rishus works. El pshita, how do we have to understand the Mishnah Deloy bottle? That you have somebody from the chotzer who didn't participate in the shtufa mevos, and he wasn't mevatel rishus. Bitl rishus would work, but he wasn't mevatel rishus, and that's why the shtufa mevos didn't work. So we're explaining that that's the problem. So in the sefer le bottle, if that's the way we're explaining the sefer of the Mishnah, reisha, the previous case, also speaking about a case Deloy bottle. So, and still, we're learning that they could carry in the chotzer. Reisha, so now develops the question. The beginning of the Mishnah said that if they made a Ruvi Chatzeris and not Shtuf Mavos, you could carry in the chotzer and not in the Movi. The Sefer, however, says that if they made a Ruvi Chatzeris and not Shtuf Mavos, the halach is you can't carry in the Movi. That all represents the opinion of Rameya. Because Rameya teaches us you need to have a Shtufim Vos, you need to have a Ruvi Chatzeris. However, the Mitziyasa, where we learned that if somebody didn't participate in the Erev, they still could carry the Mavi in the Chatzer, that represents the opinion of Rabbanim, that as long as you have a good Ruvi Chatzeris, or as long as you have a good Shtufim Vos, that's good enough. So how do I understand the Mishnah? In the beginning and the end follows the opinion of Ramei, the middle follows the opinion of Rabbanim. Answers the Gemara, Kula Rameihi. This Mishnah is completely with the opinion of Ramei. And now the Gemara explains. Tama mai Omer Ramei being an Erev being a Shittuf. Why do Ramei say that the Erev can't cover for the Shittuf? Or why can't the Shittuf voice cover for the Erev? So Ramei explains, it will only have Shittuf and Mavos and won't have a Ruvi Chatzeris. People will forget that there's such a concept of a Ruvi Chatzeris. However, here, Hocha, Kivin the Ruben Irvu. Here we have a case where Shtuf and Mavos were made. Even a Ruvi Chatzeris were made. There's one person who neglected to participate. So since there's only one person who neglected to participate, we're not worried to Shtak HaTaris Erev, because so many people did participate, and therefore it's a very different situation. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, however, says the Rav had a different version of understanding the case of our Mishnah. Rav Loitani Pesuch L'Zuluzeh, the way we learned our Mishnah was that the various Chatzeris that were next to each other had entrances from one to the other. And they also all each had an entrance to the Movi. But he said, Rav Loitani, Rav did not learn the Mishnah that way, the Pesuch Zuluzu, that the Chatzeris were open to each other. The Kenam Rav Kahana, and so does Rav Kahana teach us. Rav Loitani Pesuch Zuluzu. Rav, in explaining our Mishnah, says that the Mishnah is not speaking about a situation where the Chatzeris are open to each other. Ikad Amma, a different version. Rav Kahana Gufei Loitani Pesuch Zuluzu. Rav Kahana did not learn that they're open to each other. Omlai Abayla Rav Yosef. My Tam the Rav the Loitani Pesuch Zuluzu. Why should that make a difference? He says, so it answers the Gemara. Kosova, Kos Shittiv. If to make the shtufa mevos, you don't need to go into the movi. You could go from one chotzer to the other chotzer, lashmei shtuf. In other words, the only way the shtufa mevos could be effective is when it's obvious that it's being made as shtufa mevos. But if the chatzeris are open one to the other, so we don't have to connect them by going to the movi. We could connect the chatzeris by just going from one chotzer to the other. And since there's a consideration or concern
that they're never going to walk into the Mavri to make the Shtufa Mavaz. Therefore, that won't be a valid Shtufa Mavaz. The only way we could be sure that they need to go into the Mavri to come together to make the Shtufa Mavaz is if there's no entrances between the various Chatzeres. Esrei, ask the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah Daf Ayin Aleph from an Aleph, Balabai Shai Shutuf L'Shchenov. The case where we said where we have somebody who lives in the middle Chatzer, and he's a Shutuf to his different neighbors, Lezebi Yain, Lezebi Yain. He's already a partner with one neighbor, one Chatzer with one and the other. The Loch is, they don't have to make a new Eruv Chatzeres. The fact that they have that wine together connects them. But now the question is, if you have to actually go to the place where you're making the Erev, where you're making the Shtufa Mavaz, the fact that we have a connection, why is that good enough? Answers the Gemara, Hasan the Afka V'Aili, that we actually took it, the wine that we're all connected through, into the Mavoi, and that's why it's a valid Shtufa Mavaz. Ask the Gemara, the Mishnah we're going to learn later in the Masechta, Daf Ayin Tesam Beis, ask Ketzad Mishtat from the Mavoi. How do you make Shtufa Mavaz? And the Mishnah says we take a barrel and we put it down and we say this is for all the members of the Mavri. So it seems that you don't have to take it to the Mavri. So you could say it even if you have a barrel at home. Says Mar, no, that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. The way to understand that Mishnah is exactly, actually, Dafka V'Aili, that they actually took it out to the Mavri. Because if you don't take the Shtufa Mavaz to the Mavri, it won't be a valid Shtufa Mavaz. Masler of Rabbi Bar Chonon, Elami Ata, Hiknaloi, Pas, Besaloi. So if you just gave rights to bread that's in a basket to somebody who's a member of the Mavri, Hochanam Deloi Havashitav, he isn't actually there, so that will prevent it from being a good Shtufim voice. Vechitay Mahochanami, if you're going to say that's indeed the case, ask the Gemara, Vam Rabbi Yudam Rav, B'nai Chabur Shoyim Subim. There was the people from the that are all in this chotzer, in this mavui, were sitting together erev Shabbos, the kiddush alayyam, and it becomes Shabbos. Hapasha al shulchan soim chalea, the bread that's already on the table, could be relied on as the ruvich hatzeris. Vamelay could be relied on for the shtufim revoz. Vamer avloy pligi, kam sum bebayis. If they're in the house, the bread could be relied on for the ruvich hatzeris. If they're sitting in the chotzer, it could be relied on for the shtufim revoz. But what do we see from here? How could it be a good Shtufa Mavaz if we're learning that the only time it's considered an effective Shtufa Mavaz if it's actually in the Mavi? Answers the Gemara, El Tam, the Rav. What's the reason the Rav said in our Mishnah that the Chatzeris are not open to each other, the Kosovar? Because Rav's opinion is, Ein Mavi Nita B'Lech V'Kaira, you can't carry in a Mavri, until you have bought the Psuchim B'Toichai, until you have bought the Chatzeris open to it. You have to have at least two Chatzeris, and each Chatzer has to have at least two homes. But if all the Chatzeris are open to each other, so they're not viewed as separate Chatzeris, they're viewed as one big Chatzer. And if they're only viewed as one big Chatzer, you don't have the requisite amount of Chatzeris, because Rav says you have to have at least two Chatzeris. And that's why that would be a consideration. So here we have a very interesting situation that the Gemara just discussed, where you have people sitting on the table, all enjoying eating together, and Rabbi Yehuda B'Shem Rav said that the food that we're all enjoying together could be relied on for the Ruvi Chatzeris who was sitting in the house, could be relied on Shtufa Mavaz who was sitting in the Chatzer. So the question that the Paiskim discuss is, if I'm sitting in someone's home, and he gave me some food to eat, and I take that food that he served me, and I'm a Kaddish Anisha, I marry a woman with that food. And we know that the Halach is that when you're a Kaddish Anisha, whatever you're using to affect that Kedushin has to be something you own. So is that considered something you own? So the Ramah, and even as a Simon Chav Ches, Sif Yud Zayin, says of course it's considered that you own it. The Taz disagrees. He says that the halacha is that somebody, the Gemara says, Masech Techulin, Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph, that if you're a guest in someone's home and he offers you to eat, you're allowed to eat. But you're not allowed to serve that food even to the children of your host. It's not yours unless you have rishus to do so. And that's the halacha in our Chaim Simon Kuf Ayin of your test. So we see that it's not considered something that belongs to you. Our Gemara is a chayra raya that it would be a good kedushin, because our Gemara is saying that the food that I was served could serve as a guest in someone's home, could serve as a ruve chetzeris, could serve as shtufim mevas, even though it's not food that I'm actually was given, that I actually own. So you see that food that you're being served is considered something that you own, and it can be considered, and it can be considered that to yours to the degree that you could use it to be Mekadesh and Isha. And this is what's used. There's a famous question that the Sfasemis brings up. He says the halacha is that the matzah that you eat Pesach by night has to be lochem. It has to be your matzah. So if you're a guest at someone's home and he's serving you matzah, but it's not your matzah, it's his matzah. So how can you be kind the mitzvah of achilas matzah? But based on our Gemara and the rayas that we just brought, that anything that when a guest is served food, it's considered like it's his. So now it wouldn't be a concern. Because if you're going to someone's house for the Seder and your host is serving you matzah, according to the way we're learning our Gemara, that matzah becomes yours. If the matzah becomes yours, so you're mekayim the mitzvah, we're eating that matzah.